stops them from trying to take us out and grab our weapons, fuck our women, then cut everyone's throat. Tell me that, Dredd.
Well, then they'd be killers. It's bad for business.
Ryan looked at JB, who shrugged.
He's got a point.
Maybe.
Yeah. They wouldn't try anything if they were smart.
If they were smart, right. Everyone on double red. Keep your blasters ready. And don't wait for an order if things go south.
Hey, guys, chill.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
They'll take us across, no problem. Done it plenty of times.
And the payment?
It'll be me. Always it's me.
The ramshackle craft coasted to a stop about 20 feet from the muddy shore of the river, the oars working slowly to keep it in position against the tug of the water. The person at the helm was so shrouded in rags and furs that it was impossible to tell whether it was a man or a woman. Most of the other crew members had long beards. All wore a similar assortment of filthy clothes. There was no obvious threat, and Ryan began to relax a little. The person at the tiller threw back his hood to reveal a tall, burly man.
You want the ferry? You want a cross?
Yeah.
All of you?
Yeah.
I know you. One of the Bronx gangs near the old baseball ground. Falcons?
Hawks. I'm the Prez. My name's Dredd.
The raft was beginning to turn slowly, caught in a whirling eddy of the river.
Backwater, you brainless cockheads! Hold her steady! Who's the others?
Audis, most old.
Got some pretty blasters there.
Sure do. You carry us over to Matin?
What we're here for.
Usual charge?
Wait a minute. Hold her steady, you bastard sons of gaudy bitches!
The man left the tiller and picked his way towards the other men on the boat. Several of them glanced toward the shore, looking along the line of would-be passengers. Ryan half turned toward JB, making a small movement of his right thumb, an old signal from their days with the trader, which meant things were looking suspicious. Mildred tapped Dredd on the arm, making him jump.
Who are they?
I told you, that's Boss York at the tiller. The rest of his gang.
And you reckon they can be trusted, do you, Dredd?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Retha was shuffling her feet in the mud, hooking her thumbs into the waistband of the long rubber waders, as though she were readying herself to slide them off. Christy caught Ryan's eye, biting her lip. He repeated the signal with his thumb, warning her that he shared her unease. Boss York returned to the steering of the raft. One bank of oars began to pull forward, while the other rowed backward, spinning the ungainly boat neatly on its own axis, bringing it in closer to the rubble-strewn shore.
Same fare as usual, Hawk.
Boss York gave a leer, a red-lipped predator's grin that split the expanse of facial hair. As they moved to climb aboard, Dredd gripped Ryan by the elbow, pushing his face close. Ryan could taste his rancid breath.
Whatever happens, don't cause trouble, Ryan.
Ryan counted 15 on the raft. There were several men manning the oars, their tattered rags stained into a wash of dull browns and dark reds. Aside from the oarsmen, there was a group of fur-draped men whose job seemed to be to just stand there and stare lasciviously at Christy and Mildred. The important thing was that there weren't many firearms in sight, though everyone was festooned with a variety of blades. Boss York, wearing a battered carbine with a sawed-off barrel at his hip, beckoned them to a double row of seats directly in front of the tiller.
Keep the balance! Everyone buck snug? Then give way!
The Harlem River was less than a half mile across, running slow and clear. Peering over the side, Ryan could see innumerable fish moving below them, some like sinuous eels about 15 feet in length. When they were 100 yards or so out in the middle, Boss York pointed to Retha.
Time we took the toll for the passage. Strip down, slut.
Ryan felt a faint prickling at his nape, and the pulse at his temple began to throb. Even though he knew it was ready, he looked casually down at the G-12 in his lap, checking that it was set on full auto. It was. Retha kicked off the long boots and unbuttoned a pair of ragged jeans. She was wearing no underclothes.
And your tits. Harv, come up here and take the tiller.
Retha slowly peeled off her sweater and the ancient t-shirt underneath. The cold wind made the nipples on her small breasts harden. Ryan looked the other way, out across the water toward the shore of Matin. One of the great lessons the trader had taught him was that you didn't interfere in other people's business unless you had to. Right now, there were two options. One was to ignore what was going to happen to Rita and make the ferry crossing safely. It was obvious the girl was used to this. The second option was to take on more than a dozen men on a raft in the middle of a wide river. Ryan was fairly confident in his own ability as a swimmer, but he wasn't sure about the others. The second option became even less attractive as he glimpsed a triangular fin cut the surface of the water only 100 yards away from them. Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan was aware of the pale, dirt-streaked body of the girl, kneeling submissively in front of the huge man. Her mouth opened, and she lifted her hands as if in prayer. Boss York pushed his hips forward at her face.
You use your teeth, and I'll snap your fucking neck.
The oars rose and fell, moving in a ragged rhythm, carrying them south and west, away from the Bronx. Nobody spoke. Boss York savagely grabbed Rita by the neck, his fingers wrapping around her throat.
Don't spit it out, bitch.
Ryan could feel his own pulse starting to beat faster, anger closing down his mind to what was sensible and what was crassly stupid.
Oh, that's right, slut. Who's next? Come on, boys. Wet the deck and pass it around. Best go double and triple. Slut'll take what we give her.
Rita knelt in the bottom of the raft, wiping her mouth. Boss York replaced the man at the tiller, who made his way toward the girl. One of the others shipped his oar and started back.
Ryan.
No.
Two members of York's gang started in on the girl, grinning like jackals. Ryan suddenly realized that Boss York was deliberately steering a tacking course, running the raft in a series of lateral cuts, making their journey 3 times the length it needed to be.
How come you aren't going straight?
How come you old outies don't shut your triple stoop mouth?
Gotta go with the current, outie!
But you're right, One Eye. It's taken a long time. Hard work with all you bastards on here, too fucking many. Think we'll have to up the price some.
Dredd's face was like wind-carved bone.
Hey, we done a deal, boss.
That was then, this is now.
What's the new price?
Triple price, friends. Redhead slut and black slut. Here and now.
No.
Dredd sat on one of the oil drums, head between his legs, a trickle of vomit hanging from his open mouth. There was arterial blood splashed all over his pale face, soaked into his jacket, where one of the York gang had died on top of him. On the back of his jacket, invisible to him, was a gray splatter of brain tissue, speckled with splinters of bright white skull. Every living person on the drifting raft was dappled with crimson. The water that sloshed around under the thwarts was clotted and murky with all the spilled blood. Rita was being helped into her wet clothes by Mildred, who tried to wipe her clean of the worst of the shambles. The bodies were gone, all bobbing in the Harlem River, mostly floating face down, trailing out behind the raft like dejected flotsam. Already the scavengers were there, scenting rich pickings. 2 of the dreaded triangular fins were circling the corpses, and a 3rd was slicing through the river from the north.
Did you have to kill everybody?
JB was balancing on the side of the raft, methodically cleaning and reloading his 5.6mm pistol.
Tell you something, Mildred. When I rode with Trader, round about the time we had that mess up in Taos, Ryan, remember it?
There was a flash in Ryan's memory of a woman with a feral scent of rutting lust. Sharona, eyes of palest lilac. Sharona Carson was a killer born who'd coupled with Ryan and then walked away, daring him to shoot her in the back. She'd kicked a big chopped Harley 2-wheel wagon to life and rode off into a smoke-crusted future.
I remember it. About a week after that, we got ambushed by some desert muties. Hit a water party, chilled Otis and Peachy. Trader went after them, and we hit the camp. Ragged-ass bunch of triple pours. After it was done, we checked out the camp. Giardino had that infield support weapon, Ryan. He found this elderly woman. You don't really see people over the age of 40 these days. All wrapped up in a pile of stinking blankets. She looked scared, terrified, like life itself had chewed out her insides. Giardino took her hand and walked outside with her to show her we were the good guys. Stood there and called the traitor what he'd found.
Go on.
Not much more to tell. Coot had an implo grin buckled to her belly. Pulled the pin. Giardino never knew what hit him. Him and the granny kind of vanished.